You all today? Yeah. All right. Good to see the cool kids finally using those tables. You know, I was wondering about that. I was like, man, nobody's going to use those things. Glad that you guys are. Yeah. So everybody thank Will afterwards today for sitting at the table. So, yeah. Hey, a couple of quick announcements before we get started. Next week. So here's how it's going to go. There will be an AM service, our normal Sunday morning service. We will be here like normal next Sunday morning. We will not have a Christmas Eve service in the evening. Okay? So just so you that, you know, what's that? Yeah, and kids will be in here with us. So we get the kids with us for 2 weeks in a row, which is awesome. So that will be a great time. And so we'll be here next Sunday morning, but not in the evening. So that means this, because you all know that normally every year we bake loads of cookies and we load them up and we bring them out to people who have to work on Christmas Eve. Y'all remember that? Okay. So normally what we would do is we would bring the cookies to the Sunday morning service prior to Christmas Eve, and then we would put together plates, and then on Christmas Eve, y'all would leave and grab plates and take them out with you. So what we're going to do is we're going to have you bring cookies next Sunday morning. And we'll have a table out there for you. Just leave them out on the table. We'll have some volunteers. We'll put together plates. And then after Sunday morning service, you can grab a plate of cookies and you can go bring them to somebody who has to work on Christmas Eve. All right? You go bring them down to the police station. Bring them down to the emergency room. Bring them down to Lollapalooza. I don't care. Just bring them. Just bring them. They're usually hungry anyway. So, so what's that? Special cookies, yeah. So, anyway. It's going to be just a great time. So bring cookies next week when you come, and or brownies or whatever candy, and we'll put them together in little gift plates for you, and you can take them with you and bring them to people who have to work on Christmas Eve. So, all right. Oh yeah. By the way, I'm Lee. I think I know everybody here, but if we haven't met yet, I'm the lead pastor here. So, hey, let's put up our mission statement. This is what we're all about. Let's say it together. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. Yeah, so our mission as a church is to love Jesus, is to love each other, is to grow in Jesus, because anything healthy grows. You love Jesus, you'll grow in Him, you'll grow closer to Him, you'll grow in His Word, you'll grow in prayer, and then to go, to serve our community, to serve each other. And man, that's just wonderful. I love our mission. And today what we're doing is we are wrapping up a two-part series. Because next week, guess what I'm going to be talking about next week? Just take a guess. If you said Easter, correct. I'm just kidding. Yes. But we're wrapping up this two-part series. And it's called Overflowing Life. And we're talking about how we can shift from overwork and overwhelm. Does anybody ever feel overwhelmed before? I think everybody has felt overwhelmed. If you haven't felt overwhelmed at some point, you might not. You might need to check your pulse or you might live in Jamaica. I don't know, but overwork and overwhelm to a place of abundance and a place of overflow, right? Does anybody feel like Christmas time is maybe a time of a little bit of overwhelm for you? Does anybody feel overwhelmed about Christmas? Yeah, really? You guys? Okay. So this year, not to brag or anything, but I will, we're actually done. We're done with all of our Christmas shopping. Yeah, we're done. In fact, we got them all wrapped. Mm-hmm. Yes. I grew this beard solely so I could make this face. We've got them all wrapped. We're ready to go. We're just enjoying. Last night we watched A Christmas Story. What? No, what? You have two to wrap? Oh. What? What? Oh, stocking stuffer. No big deal. So, we're set. So, last night we watched A Christmas Story. I love it. One of our sons, I won't tell you who, has more Christmas spirit. I would say he has maybe as much Christmas spirit, close to maybe, almost maybe, as Ryan Neumeier. Maybe. I mean, he's excited. We can't get in the car without him turning up the radio on the 24-hour Christmas station that's playing. He knows the lyrics to every Christmas song. He knows who sang that song. He knows what version is the best. He knows it all. He's He is a treasure trove of Christmas knowledge, and I'm telling you, he's overflowing with Christmas spirit. So if anybody's like, I need a little Christmas spirit to rub off on me, you need to go over, you need to give my son a hug or something, and just see if some of that Christmas spirit will rub off on you, because he is overflowing with it. So I don't even know how I got on that one, but anyway, we're talking about moving from a place of overwork and overwhelm to a place of abundance, to a place of overflow, you know. And last week we read the 23rd Psalm, and we talked about gaining an overflow mindset. And how do we do that? We gain an overflow mindset by focusing on God's limitless resources instead of our limited resources, right? Because we all kind of feel limited in energy, limited in time, limited in resources. And we kind of feel like if I give away this, then I'll have less. But we know that in God's economy, it doesn't really work that way. And God has unlimited resources. And so we can draw from his strength. We can draw from him, from his resources. We can draw from his abundant supply, right? Because we all know that God created it all. He owns it all. And God is limitless in his resources. And so we talked about two of the four habits that we needed to live, to have an overflowing life. Do you remember what they were? What was the first one? Stay connected to Jesus. Come on, y'all. Did anybody take notes? Yeah. I expect better. I'm just kidding. one is stay connected to Jesus, right? We stay connected to Jesus in prayer. And when we do that, we experience. And listen, I've been there before. I've gone through these dry times in my life where I've neglected my prayer life. I've neglected that time with the Lord. And things. And I've noticed like fatigue creep in, doubt creep in, self-preservation kind of creep in. But when I stay connected with God in prayer, when that is a daily discipline in my life, when that is something that operation every day, I have more energy. My attitude is better. Just all sorts of things. And so staying connected to Jesus helps us to live life that's overflowing, okay? It's not just a Christian homework assignment, all right? It's very good. And so, and then the next thing that we talked about is stop griping and be grateful. If you want to live an overflowing life, learn gratitude. And we'll begin to be thankful for what we have instead of lamenting what we don't have, right? Because isn't that what we do? Isn't that like the difference between Uganda and America? Or, you know, generally, they did a study years ago, and it was one of the African nations that was considered the happiest on the planet. And they were also one of the poorest. And part of it was they're just so grateful for all that they have. You know, and here in America, we have everything. Everything! We have like supercomputers in our pockets, right? We have so much, and we grumble about what we don't have, you know? And so learning to be grateful helps us to live in a place of overflow instead of overwhelm, okay? And so today we're going to talk about habits 3 and 4. But before, I just wanted to share a quick story with you. It's from John chapter 7. And John chapter 7, Jesus is at this huge Jewish festival. You know, and you know, ain't no festival like a Jewish festival. But he's at this huge Jewish festival. It's called the Festival of Shelters. It's still celebrated today. Gary Buchanan celebrates it. He puts up a tent in his backyard in October, and he camps out there. It's still celebrated today. And in this instance where Jesus was, it's estimated that there were around 50,000 people there. 50,000 people. I don't think there's ever been. Has there ever been 50,000 people at Cornerstone? Not even close. Only 50,000 people. Okay, so it's like Jewish Cornerstone. 50,000 people there. Everybody's got tents. The Jews are rocking. It's just insane. Okay, and so there's people that are celebrating, and Jesus stands up in the middle of the crowd. In verses 37 and 38, he stands up and he says this. He says, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me." Right? "Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." So we see that Jesus, in the middle of all this, he's declaring that he is the source of overflowing life. So if we want to experience overflowing life, if we want to experience life in abundance, if we want to experience an overflowing and abundance mindset, if we want to know that, then He is that source. He is the source for overflowing life. It was never God's desire for us to live a life of overwhelm. That was never God's desire. It was never God's desire for us to live a life of overwork and just love and just you know, running on empty, right? And we've all been there. You ever go, man, I'm running on fumes. I felt that way before. You know, I'm just running on fumes. But that was never God's intention. His intention was for us to live a life of overflowing, okay? And he wants us to experience the rivers of living water that Jesus talks about. He wants to experience that. And it's my prayer and that you would receive that living water, that life of overflowing from him today. So how can we cultivate a life of overflow? That's what we've been talking about. And how can we live in a surplus mindset instead of a shortage mindset? We're going to talk about that. But hey, really quick, let's pray. God, we love you so much. And I ask God that you would bring us from a place of overwhelm to overflow. God, and that if there's anyone here today that's just, they're feeling overwhelmed, they're feeling like they're running on fumes, God, I pray that you would take them to that place of overflow, God. Of overflow, Lord, that you would stir up in them, Lord, the desire and the discipline, really, to spend time with you every day, to drink from your living waters. God, we know that when we live a life of overflow, then that's a kingdom life. That's a life where we can proclaim your kingdom. It's a life where we can others can experience the love of Jesus through us. So I ask God that you would let your word come alive in us, that it would change us and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what we're going to do is we are going to take a look at a story from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 through 44. And during this time, there's this land of Gilgal. That's the area, that's the region that the prophet Elisha was dwelling in at the time. It was experiencing severe famine. And the prophet Elisha decided that it was time to give what little he had to feed some people. You ever notice that? Like when things are tough, like when we're in a time of famine, the last thing we're thinking about is helping other people. You know, we're usually thinking about how are we going to get by. And I remember I was working for a ministry a few years ago, the Quad Cities Prayer Center, and we were just kind of humming along and building programs and all this stuff. And then the 2008 recession hit, right? And what do you think was the first thing that many people did, many contributors to that ministry did when the rumors of recession came along? Well, they stopped giving. You know, and I remember sitting down and having to have the conversation with my boss and him saying, we just can't afford to pay anymore. You know, a lot of people have stopped giving. And that was just, they had stopped giving on just fear. Like, these were people that didn't even lose their jobs, right? These are just like, hey, recession's hit. Who knows what's going to happen? I better stop giving. And so Elisha is in something far worse than a recession. He's in a famine. And he's like, we got to do something. Let's start giving. And it says in verse 42, it says, one day a man from Baal Shalisha brought the man of God, Elisha, a sack of fresh grain and 20 loaves of barley bread made from the first grain of his harvest. Elisha said, give it to the people so they can eat. So he's given this gift. Somebody said, hey, we're in a time of famine, and I've got some grain, and I've got some bread, and I want to give it to you. I want to bless you with it. And Elisha says, we're going to give it to the people to eat. I'm not going to take and keep this all for myself. Okay? And he said, give it to the people so they can eat. And Elisha's servant says, what? Right? What? His servant exclaimed, feed 100 people with only this? Did you know that if you have a scarcity mindset, if you have a mindset of like it's never enough, there is always going to be arguments whenever you're called to generosity. You know, whenever you're called to generosity, there's going to be arguments, and that's a sign of a scarcity mindset. When there's a need in front of you, and you got, you know, 10 bucks in your wallet, or you've got an hour that you can donate, or you can do something about it, and right away all the reasons start going through your mind why you can't. That's called a scarcity mindset, okay? And so arguments are always going to rise up when you're called to generosity and you have a scarcity mindset. But Elisha repeated, give it to the people so they can eat, for this is what the Lord says. Everyone will eat and there will be even some left over. And when they gave it to the people, there was plenty for all and some left over, just as the Lord has promised. Remember last week we talked about, you know, we tend to look at life as a pie, right? And if I give you a slice of my pie, I'm going to have less pie, right? But God is the baker. God's the one who will just keep making pie, right? We talk about how my kids sometimes will fight over, you know, a bag of Doritos. And we're like, guys, there's more at the store, you know. There's more at the store. There's always more at the store. And so, you know, when we're called upon to be generous, when we're called to help others, we can rest assured God's just going to make more. There's more at the store, okay? And we don't have to worry about it. And so have you ever gone through maybe a personal famine? Have you gone through a personal famine in your life? Maybe, you know, it's like you're starving in different areas of your life. Maybe unexpected bills have tapped you out financially. And you're busy from early in the morning to late at night. And you feel lonely. And you feel drained. And like overwhelm is your state of being. Because we all know when it rains, it pours, right? You know, you can't have your car break down and then not have, like, your furnace need repairing, too, at the same time. You can't have, like, you know, a flat tire and then somebody mad at you at work, you know, at the same time. It's just, when it rains, it pours, it happens, and we have this sort of this feeling of overwhelm. We go through these times of, like, personal famine. And the last thing on your radar when you are going through a personal famine is making sure that others have enough. That's the last thing on your radar, right? In fact, a lot of times when you're going through a personal famine, you resent it when somebody even asks, right? You're super busy and somebody says, hey, can you help me move something? Can you help me do something? Can you come and serve for this or that? And we resent it, right? Because we're going through a personal famine and we don't understand God's economy, and so we start to resent it. But if there's one thing that you remember this morning, I want you to remember this, okay? Put it up there. If God is the source of my life, then I don't have to worry about running out. Because, you know, God's not up there going, I don't know, guys, it's getting kind of tight up here. Right? I don't think God's ever up there going, hey, guys, I don't know, let me check my register, you know. God's not up there worried about running out. And if he is the source of my life, then I don't have to worry about running out. I don't have to worry about running out. He'll make more pie, all right? Verse 44 says, there was plenty for all and some left over. There was plenty for all and some left over. Jesus didn't say, hey, look, trickles of living water will flow from my heart. You guys, there's a limited supply of living water. I want you guys to line up and I'm just going to give you each this much. You know, it's not like he's rationing out living water. He's saying rivers of living water would come from his heart, okay, and that they are available to us. They're available to us. And a lot of us feel empty. A lot of us feel drained. A lot of us feel overwhelmed because we're not going to get filled up with living water. That's huge, okay, because we're not going and spending time with Jesus and letting him fill us up. All right, and that's just so important. Like I said, it's not a homework assignment. It's not some sort of, it's not a religious duty. It's life, and we get to be filled up. And that's what happens when we live life the way that Jesus calls us to live. When we treat things like, like our jobs, and we treat things like our finances, and we treat things like our relationships and our reputation, when we treat them his way, we experience overflow. All right? And his way is not always our way, right? And I think we would all kind of agree, God's ways are higher than man's ways. But man, we argue with God when he wants to have his way, don't we? You know, and so his ways are not our ways, and we need to treat them his way. And so I guess sometimes we just need to stop and ask ourselves, well, how is doing life my way going? You know, how is doing life my way going? How is doing life of maybe holding resentment, not being generous with forgiveness, and maybe, you know, being stingy, and maybe being a complainer. How's life your way going? How's that working for you, right? That's a Dr. Philism, right? How's that working for you? You need to start thinking about you. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's like, how is it doing? Are you overflowing or overwhelmed? Because here's what happens. When we do life our way, we start to doubt the goodness of God. When we do life our way, we start to doubt the goodness of God. And that's not a good thing, because when we start doubting the goodness of God, it takes us down a path of overwhelm, right? It takes us down a path of being drained, of not enough. When we insist on doing life our way, because listen, you know, let's just face it, we're not the best life managers, are we? Like, I mean, if we kind of laid it all out on the table this morning and we all kind of stood up and went, yeah, these are the vices. These are the vices that got me right now. You know, I'm eating too much. I'm drinking too much. I'm looking at things I shouldn't be looking at. I've got some bitterness. If we all kind of stood up and listed all the things that kind of have us bound right now, I think that it would be easy to see that doing lives our way doesn't work as well, and that God is a far better life coach, life manager, life, you know, he knows life because he created life, so he knows how life works best, okay? And so, it's just that, okay, I lost my place because you guys confused me. I blame it on you. there was plenty, and then there was some left over, all right? And so, we need to trust God because he wants to give us life to the fullest, right? Jesus said that he's here to bring us life and that more abundantly. And so we need to trust him. And when we do life our own way, we start to doubt the goodness of God. And we don't want to be there. And so we can start by putting those habits of overflowing life into practice. So habits 3 and 4, all right? The third habit is this. The third habit for a life overflowing is to stop comparing and start being content. Stop comparing. We compare our lives with other people, and man, it just brings so much discontent. And listen, I've been there many times, okay? I mean, how many here have a friend that makes way more money than you? Okay? And they're like your age. And you've been like, dude, their life is like, and my life is, I must not be that good of a life liver or something, you know? I'm just, you know, we compare. And comparing is just, it's such a slippery slope. And when we compare our lives to other people, it can lead to resentment. It can lead to debt, right? Because we compare our life to other people. They have this and they have that. And I guess I could kind of manage that. And I guess I could pay off, you know, the credit card and have more and just pay a little bit every month and whatever. So it can lead to debt. It can lead to resentment. It can lead to poor self-esteem. It can lead to stress. Don't compare your life with somebody else. Okay? Don't compare. Just be content. People do it on social media all the time. Okay, I have a friend that's in Hawaii right now. I've experienced this just this morning. Dude's posting selfies on the beach in Hawaii, some secluded area, and I'm like, what a jerk. Come on, we all do it. We all compare when we see them. And Ronnie, if you're listening to this, I hate you. But, you know, they post pictures or their new car or their expensive dinner, right? Or people humble brag, you know. They feed their narcissism. They broadcast how awesome they are. And we feel bad that our life doesn't look so good, right? Or we flip that over and we see people on social media and we judge them for not being so wise. We judge them because, we're smarter than them, right? We're not doing stupid things that they're doing, that they're displaying out on social media, right? And so we judge them for not being as smart or as wise as we are, okay? And you add to that, you add to the fact that we're comparing to them and we don't feel as good as them, or we're judging them for not being as smart as us, or whatever, we add to that that Facebook serves up these freakishly targeted ads to us, and we want what we see. They're good at it. Dude, I have just talked to somebody about something and then gone and seen an ad for it on Facebook. That needs to be a system is down podcast topic. Somebody's got to explain to me how that happens, how I can be standing there talking with somebody and then go on Facebook and see an ad for it. Woo-hoo! Okay? So, anybody see that movie, The Circle? Okay, listen, some of us would stop comparing and be more content if we just took like a social media fast. If we just got off Facebook for a month, we'd probably feel a little more content, okay? If we just kind of took a social media fast, that would probably help a lot of us out. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as that if it were not a gift? Right? Isn't that part of our little brag on Facebook? Our brag to people? I knew one guy. It seemed like he couldn't own anything without finding not so subtle ways to broadcast that he has it. Right? I remember I was reading his blog one time, way back when iPads first came out. And it was so coveted to have an iPad. And I remember his blog post, it started off with, "I'm sorry if this blog post is short, it's my first one on my iPad." You know. Or I remember he had tweeted something, and it was he was pondering a question, but he started off the tweet with, "As I ride through the streets on my Harley, I can't help but think about," oh gosh, okay? You know, we brag about what we have, okay? But listen, we need to be content and stay away from that, because contentment comes when we embrace that everything that we have is a gift. We have to understand that. You know, even if you earned it, it's still a gift, because God gave you the ability to make wealth and to purchase that thing, okay? And when we understand that everything that we have is a gift, it's so much easier to be content. Check this video out. I love the way it represents this idea.
I'm alive! I'm alive!
Yeah?
Yeah! Oh, yeah! Hey, Christine! You're here too! I love you!
I know!
Dad, what's happening?
Honey, the power works! It's coming, it goes on and off! Whenever we want! We've got clean water!
Oh, that's great. Look at that.
Ooh. I bet I know what this does.
Rain down the glorious water.
Shoes. Oh, what do we got here, guys?
Food.
I love food. What? A briefcase? You want to have work? This is awesome. Look, listen here.
Hey, the what?
Jack, be careful!
Oh, I have a car! Did you guys see this?
Yeah, you have a car!
Oh. A car!
And don't forget your coffee!
You're the best.
Wouldn't it be awesome if we lived life that way? If that was our heart, if that was our attitude, that everything we have is a gift, wouldn't that just bring in such a greater level of contentment in our lives? Everything that we have is a gift. Stop comparing and start celebrating what you have, and you will experience overflow. All right? And the last thing is this. Stop being stingy and start being generous. Right? Stop being stingy and start being generous. Be generous with your time. Be generous with your money. Be generous with your compliments. Isn't it? Well, I don't know what the deal is with Midwesterners, but they're the worst complimenters in the world. Especially, let me just say, Midwestern men, especially. All right? Get it, like Midwestern men, it's almost like, you know, if I give them a compliment, it will, number one, give them a big head. Number two, I might have to turn in my man card. You know what I mean? And so Midwestern men are horrible with compliments. Be generous with your compliments. Be generous with your skills. If you have a skill, help somebody with it. Okay? Use that skill to help somebody. Make a difference. Because stinginess is evidence of a shortage mindset. When we're stingy, when we don't want to give, when we don't want to contribute, when we don't want to give of our time and our skills and our compliments and our resources, then it's evidence of a shortage mindset. But here's the thing. God wired the universe so that the more you give, the more you get. That's just how God wired the universe. That's why some of the most generous people also happen to be some of the most wealthy people. And a lot of people think, yeah, well, if I was that wealthy, if I made a little bit more, if I had a little bit of money, I'd be generous too. Fact of the matter is, if you're not generous with a little, you're not going to be generous with a lot. That's just statistically proven, okay? So when you have people who aren't generous, and all of a sudden they win the lottery or whatever, a lot of times what will happen is they'll just blow the lottery over the span of a few months, and they will have made no difference financially. They're not generous to to other people. And so if you're not generous with a little, you're not going to be generous with a lot. So learn to be generous with a little, and then maybe God can trust you with a lot, right? So God just wired the universe so that the more you give, the more that you get. Elisha's generosity fed everyone, and there was some left over. Listen, if anybody was in a position where they were like, I better hoard this because there's a famine in the land, it would have been Elisha. And really, like, and I don't think, you know, you could fault anybody if during a famine he got some grain and he got some bread and he went, I better store this because I don't know when this famine's going to be over. I mean, it would have been totally normal, totally rational for him to go, I better hold on to this because we're in a famine, all right? But instead, he gave it all away, and it says, everyone was fed, and he had some left over. I can't explain to you how it works. I can't explain to you how God does that. I don't know. I remember when we first started tithing 25 years ago, it made no sense whatsoever. In fact, we went with a notebook and meticulously wrote down our monthly expenses and wrote down, you know, did we even have enough money to tithe? And the answer was no. But we did it anyway, even though in black and white and on paper, it didn't make sense. And guess what? We weren't homeless. We still had clothes. We didn't starve to death. Everything worked out. There was plenty left over, right? And we even went to Chili's once in a while. Probably too often. But that was Wendy's fault. I'm just kidding. But, you know, there was plenty left over. So Jesus fed 5,000 people with a few fish and some bread. And he ended up with 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Okay? God's economy, it doesn't make sense to us, but it's much more powerful than our economy. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he said, given you'll receive, your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, overflowing, and poured into your lap. The amount that you give will determine the amount you get back. And so really, the big question is how much do you trust Jesus and how much do you take him at his word? That's huge. Are we going to trust Jesus or are we going to trust our own common sense? How much are we going to take him at his word? And so this isn't a tithing message, but I want to encourage you to start tithing if you're not already. It's scary, but you'll experience a blessing, okay? The antidote for discontent is giving. Really, the antidote for discontent, if you're discontent, give something away. Because they've actually proven that it will create dopamine in your brain. Remember last week we talked about how generosity actually triggers the same chemical in your brain as... Right? Huh? Yes, as a stroke. Yes. That wasn't you? Was that you, Ryan? Okay. Oh, I should have known. All right? God is the most generous of all, right? Is he not? Yes or no, God is the most generous of all. Yes, he's the most generous of all. And we're his children. And our striving should be to be like him, to be more like him, okay? And generosity is foremost an act of love. Okay, it's not foremost some sort of religious act or whatever, and it's foremost an act of love. You can give without loving, right? But you can't love without giving. And you know, if I love my wife, I'm going to give to her. I'm going to give her my time, and I'm going to give her my attention, right? If I love my children, I'm going to give to them. I'm going to give them my time. I'm going to give them my attention. I'm going to invest in them. Okay, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And so we need to make it an intentional practice to be generous, right? And it's going to create the condition in our lives to experience overflow. And so my question for you today is, what areas of your life seem to be stuck in scarcity? You know, where is there a shortage in your life? And you know, as your pastor, what I really want for you is to be walking in overflow. You know, as your pastor, what I want for you is to be walking in gratitude, is to be walking in overflow, is to be drinking from the living waters of Jesus, okay? And to commit to the daily habits of connecting with Jesus, of gratitude, of contentment, and generosity. And really that our prayer, my prayer and your prayer would be, Jesus, I trust you with my life. I trust you with my possessions. I trust you with my time. I trust you with my words. I trust you. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to say a quick prayer, and then we're going to take up a special offering, okay? But it's probably not what you think it is. So what we're going to do is, rather than, we'll do this in a little bit because we have to collect connection cards. But rather than dropping something in the bucket or giving something to the church or whatever, what I'm going to have you guys do is I'm just going to have you just pause, say a quick prayer, and ask God who in this room you should give to, right? So maybe God puts on your heart, you know, somebody or somebody sitting next to you, somebody sitting across the room, and you're like, you know what, I need to go give that person a little bit of money, okay? So the offering is going to be a little bit different. This isn't, you know, we're not going to collect it as we normally would. So I'm going to say a prayer, so I'm going to pray, and we're going to have some fun. We've done this like twice before over the last 6 years. It's a blast, okay? And so somebody might come up to you, and you know, here's what's really cool, is sometimes people will sit here and they have like no cash on them, and they feel bad, and somebody will walk up to them and like give them cash. And somebody might give you some money, and you might go, oh, this is awesome. And I can keep this for myself because I'm in a time of famine, or I can go give this to somebody else, right? And so we're just going to do that. We're just going to love on each other with a couple dollar bills, and we'll give our offering that way this morning. Let's pray. God, we love you so much, and we praise you. And we ask, God, that you would show us, that you would lead us, God, into an act of generosity towards someone today. God, for your glory and for your honor, Lord, that we would live out of abundance, that we would live out of overflow. God, that we would live in a way that shows that we trust you with everything, 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 everything. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Bill's going to put on a song, and we will take the 3 to 4 minutes that the length of the song is to just be generous to each other. If you're like, you know what, I got no money, I got nothing, all I got is a credit card, and I don't want to give him my credit card, and I don't blame you, I'm okay with that, then you know what, be generous with a compliment. Be generous with a hug. Show each other generosity. So we're just going to take like 3 or 4 minutes to show each other generosity, all right, today? So be thou released. Say a prayer and ask God to show you who to give to. Ask God to show you who to be generous toward. Okay? All right. Okay. Let's go ahead and wrap that up and come on back together. Wrap that up. Come on back together. Yeah. All right. Yeah. You're going to give me your mom's credit card? Thank you. All right. Hey, doesn't it feel good to be generous?
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Amanda. One person thinks it feels good to be generous. Yes. Okay. So what we're going to do, actually, we do need to collect connection cards. And if somebody feels like they, you know, still are going to give in the offering today, if our ushers want to come up, and we'll do that. And then we'll end in worship. So ushers, if you want to come. And if you want to drop your connection card, or if you have a Christmas offering pledge card that you'd like to drop in there, yeah, I'll get it eventually. Thanks. So where's our other usher? We need an usher for over here. Is that Vince? Vince, come on up here, buddy. Grab your bucket. We got an offering, so yes. All right. What's that? Yeah, so if the worship team wants to come up now, that'd be great. So if you have your connection card filled out, or if you're like, hey, I still want my regular tithe to go in today, and you want to drop that in there, you all know how to give here. So let's go ahead and pray. And listen, if you need prayer this morning for anything, maybe you're kind of stuck in a scarcity mindset, you know, whatever it is. If you need prayer for anything today, the prayer team will be back there. And I'll be back there too. And so if you need prayer for anything, just come see us, okay? And just come back there and we'd be happy to pray for you. So let's go ahead and pray together. God, we love you so much. We praise you, Lord. You are so mighty. You are so awesome, God. There is nothing that you can't do. Your resources are limitless. And Lord, it is your desire for us to live a life of overflow, to live a life of abundance, God, not a scarcity mindset, Lord, but to trust you, the one who has it all, who owns it all. Lord, you're so wonderful. God, bring us from a place of overwhelm to overflow, because you have more than enough for us. You are our supply. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.